I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, weekdays, 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you people, you independent thinkers out there, can find a safe space. We carry no water for any political parties or politicians here. Just call them as we see them. It hit me as I was listening to my intro just then. I've said this before. It's one of the things I'm most proud of. I absolutely love the intro to the show, but it hit me that if there is a change in administration, I'm going to have to probably change my intro to replace some of the voices. Some of them are timeless. Luckily, Kamala Harris, should she be vice president? I know that's a bit of a heresy to say right now, but should she become vice president / president, she does have a very annoying, strange laugh, evil laugh. I can take out Hillary's evil laugh and put Kamala's evil laugh back in, but I may have to make some changes. That took a lot of work, I got to tell you. I'm no audio genius, but to cut, paste, and put backtracks to my intro was a lot of work, so I guess I know what I may be doing. I'll wait until January 20th, 21st, before I do it. Like, I won't take Trump out. Trump will probably stay in there. I mean, it's got the Bushes. It's even got Howard Dean in that intro. So I kick it old school in my intro to a degree, but may have to make some changes. All right, for today, though, next hour, we have Stephen Utrowski in again for our Freedom and Prosperity Hour. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk again today, I think, about this Certificate of Need. This is a big story that I think most people are really unfamiliar with, which is the idea that in Mississippi, as you hear your dear leaders talk about the shortage of hospital beds, I want to make sure we are driving home that this is because of these same politicians that we have a shortage of hospital beds, if we have a shortage of hospital beds. Certificate of Need has been legislation that is not around the country. A lot of states have got this. We're not alone. We have some laws that make us stand head and tails above others in terms of bad laws, but this is widely around the country that basically does not give it. It sets up regulations about whether or not you can start a new hospital. You have to go begging to, you know, regulatory boards, and they get to decide whether or not there's a need for a hospital. Can you imagine if you had a group of restaurateurs in a small area, or in any area, if you had a group of restaurateurs in Madison? Then if you wanted to open a new restaurant, you had to go to the current restaurants and say, hey, can we open another restaurant? Don't you think most of those restaurants would go, no, we're good. Last thing we want is any more competition. So we have that, and it drives shortages in medical care. And so if they're going to breathlessly point out that we need to upend our lives due to the lack of hospital beds, then I'm going to breathlessly report to you that the reason we don't have hospital beds is because of them in the first place. So we'll get to that and some other things next hour. Quotes of the day today. Ron Paul, libertarian, Republican, ran for president, longtime congressman from Texas. They called him Dr. No when he was in Congress because every time a big spending bill came, deficit spending came, he voted no. They could count on a no vote for him. He was ostracized for that. For that kind of behavior and bucking the system, the Republican Party, when he ran for president, told you he was a weirdo. He was out there. He was a little crazy. He would never win. And now that people have kind of clued into how the establishment tries to minimize anybody that doesn't play their game, the way they've gone after even Donald Trump, maybe now you understand why they tried to minimize Ron Paul and his runs for presidency. But One of my favorites, one of the few men I think had some true honor and integrity and consistency across the board. I love consistency. I hate hypocrisy. Ron Paul was consistent. He said, it is a dangerous notion that we need a government to protect us from ourselves. Henry Hazlitt wrote, the private sector of the economy is, in fact, the voluntary sector, and the public sector is, in fact, the coercive sector. And George Orwell, I found this quote, political language is designed to make lies sound truthful and murder respectable and to give an appearance of solidity to pure wind. It was George Orwell in Politics and the English Language back in 1946. I started watching the colorized version of 1984 the other day. Kind of feels like a time. Kind of feels like a time we need a little refresher course to realize that we've been warned about this for, 60, 70 years. We were told this was coming. Well, we didn't heed the warnings. We allowed it to creep up on us, but it's full on here, so I wanted to kind of brush up on 1984. And yeah, I could read the book, but the movie popped up on my YouTube feed, so I thought, what the hell? I actually got a little bit of good news that I'm not fully going to flesh out today, but I ran across headlines. Look, you know, things are not going great right now. We know that. More first-time unemployment claims after rising for three of the last 4 weeks with a big surge in the previous week. As lockdowns reaccelerate across America, analysts expected initial jobless claims to slow modestly this week, but instead claims soared from an upwardly revised 862,000 to 885,000, the highest number of Americans seeking first-time unemployment benefits since September. This is quadruple what is normal in a fully functioning economy again. It's been somewhere between three and four times a normal week in unemployment. While we're all told, oh, it's a V-shaped recovery and everything's great, but we see these lockdowns coming. Absolutely tragic. Reported yesterday that 7.6 million people have been thrust into poverty in the United States just in the last 5 months. There was also a poll here as I deliver this bad news, but hang on, I've got a little bit of good news. From the pandemic to the presidential election, there's no question 2020 has been a turning point moment in United States history. Unfortunately, most believe the year's problems haven't left them in a good position going forward. A new survey finds nearly 8 in 10 Americans say 2020 caused an existential crisis for the country. The one poll survey asks 2,000 Americans about their experiences throughout the tumultuous year and finds that 77% agree 2020 has sent the U.S. into crisis over its identity. Baby boomers are the most likely to agree with this statement, 82%, compared to 76% of Generation X and 75% of millennial respondents. So everybody believes there's this existential crisis. I'm with you. Things are not going well. But here's something that's interesting, and I stumbled across something yesterday. I'm going to flesh this out later. I didn't have time to clip it. I got to put a lot of work into this segment when I get to it. I started listening to a podcast yesterday. It's called American History Tellers, and it was a podcast series about the Gilded Age. And the first one, of course, what drew me to it was the first one was titled Carnival of Corruption. And this is talking about the Gilded Age. This is the late 1800s, after the Civil War and about the 30 years following the Civil War. And what struck me about it and why I'm going to eventually download this thing and chop it up with my audio magic to give you some things, as I was listening to it, you really realize there's very little new under the sun as far as how government works, how politicians work, how the world starts to trend. It talked about the corruption in the Grant administration. It goes on to break down some Wall Street corruption during this time. It actually gets into, I think it was Rutherford Hayes versus, and I didn't even recognize the other person's name, but it got into this contested election where I think Rutherford Hayes was set to go concede the election. This is before emails, texts, and cell phones, and somebody had to physically try to track him down on the morning that he was going to go concede the election and say, wait, don't. They're still counting here or there. We don't know how this thing's going to turn out. It was just interesting. There was also a contested election. At the same time, there was also record turnout. The Gilded Age, the corruption that surrounded it, the issues that were involved in the United States rebuilding after the Civil War got people really, really energized, and it was like 80% of the population showed up to vote, still eclipsing what we have right now. And it was just pretty fascinating because I think it is worth some historical context. I went back and looked at a lot of the 1960s riots when the streets were on fire with Black Lives Matter, and things looked really, really bleak a couple of months ago. I went and looked at the 1960s and watched that footage. It actually made me feel a little better. Not that it's good, but it made me realize, oh, okay, there have been many times in American history where people thought things were going completely off the rails, and we seem to have kind of regrouped and moved on. Now, I will tell you, right now feels a little dark. The election, the surveillance, the censorship, the lockdowns, the vaccines, the mandates of so many different things, the political corruption. But the truth of the matter is, the stuff has been around for a long time. I think the only thing, distinction I might draw between the Gilded Age corruption is it's almost like it was refreshing back then. They were just corrupt up at the top. They were just skimming money. They were running their games. They were using their political influence to buy power and gain wealth. But they kind of left the citizens alone. It feels like now we're all caught up in the corruption. We're all being put in this 9-month timeout in the United States. We're all being sent out in the streets to fight with each other based on politics. Now, it feels a little bit more intrusive, but I think that's what happens when you have a government that's been growing the size it's grown over the last 140 years. But again, I'm going to do a segment on this because it was pretty fascinating to listen to exactly what went on, up to the point where President Grant was a political novice, had never held a political office before. His cabinet got infested with corrupt people. Does this remind you of anybody right now? Donald Trump, the outsider, but his cabinet, Barr, Bolton, Esper, all the people he's had to fire, his cabinet got infested with corrupt people. It's pretty fascinating, some of the parallels. As they say, there's nothing new on Earth, and the times were the same too. So hopefully, maybe we rally after the chaos that we see right now and get back to business at some point, but it's going to be a bit of a journey to get there and probably going to require us to start speaking up for ourselves. Anyway, I've got some good news about coronavirus too today, so we're going to get to that when we come back. Stay with me. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. I am trying to bring some good news today. I told you that America's been through some rocky, heavily politicized times, rife with corruption, and we've made it through before. And there's also some good news on the COVID front. Now, some people will get mad at me for saying this. My first bit of good news on coronavirus may be controversial, but Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, has been quarantined. He hasn't been reported to have COVID, but apparently he was around some people. So Mike Pompeo has been quarantined maybe for 14 days due to a possible COVID exposure. So I got to tell you, anything that keeps the neocon warmongering Mike Pompeo on the sidelines for any period of days is good news for all of humanity. I'm sure he's still got access to Zoom and phone. He can still stir up a little trouble, but at least taxpayers aren't having to pay for him to trot around the planet stirring up trouble and starting wars. So that's good news. Mike Pompeo on the sidelines. The Also had another piece of good news. I saw a headline yesterday. On Wednesday, Twitter announced that tweets containing, quote, false or misleading claims about COVID-19 vaccinations will be removed. Now, I think this is an absolutely fantastic idea. I didn't read the rest of the story. I just saw the headline, but I'm going to assume something. I'm going to assume that what they mean is that they will no longer allow any stories about hospitals being overrun nationally, because that would be false and misleading. I read you the statistics the other day from the Health and Human Services website that showed that nationwide ICU beds and hospital beds are actually trending a little bit lower than a typical year. So this is great. Twitter will stop all of the hysteria over overrun hospitals nationally. That's great. I'm just assuming this is what they mean, because they say false or misleading claims about COVID-19. I'm going to assume that they are going to start censoring any reference to the fact that masks stop the spread of COVID-19. Because all studies show that masks do not work when it comes to viral transmission. And I read to you the other day where a report just came out that's published on the National Library of Medicine, on the National Institutes of Health website, that showed that masks actually absorb virus and become basically a petri dish on your face and may actually be a conduit to transmission. So hopefully this means that Twitter has jumped into action and they will stop propagating the false and misleading claims that masks work. Now, again, I didn't read the story. I'm just assuming this because if we're talking about truth, certainly Twitter is committed to getting the truth out there. Hopefully this means that Twitter will no longer allow any tweets to go out that show that the vaccine has been thoroughly safety tested, because that would be false and misleading information about COVID-19 vaccines. So you won't see any more of those on that social media platform. And I assume, again, not reading the story, but I believe in Twitter's commitment to truth and honesty. I assume that Twitter now will not allow you to see any more stories about your best defense against COVID being masks, social distancing, and the vaccine, when we all know that the truth is that none of those work, and the real way to stop the virus to protect yourself is vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, getting a good night's sleep, and staying home if you're sick. So this is good news. Finally, some social media censorship. Now, I could be wrong. Again, I didn't read the story, but I just assume their new commitment to truth and honesty will certainly get us to more accurate reporting when it comes to issues surrounding COVID. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Doing fine. I was listening to you, and it's amazing how you continue to mock what's going on with this pandemic, and though this is a game, but the graveyards and all the funeral homes are filling up, but yet you continue down this path with this.
Now, Vince, did you listen to my show the other day? I ran it twice because I had to be out on Tuesday. Did you listen to my show where I actually gave you the statistics from the CDC, the NIH, the studies on masks, the studies on – did you listen to the story yesterday I did about the fact that the refrigerated trucks that are being pulled up to the hospital are not because of COVID cases, but it's because during the time of COVID, people can't actually make funeral arrangements, so they're allowing bodies to stay at the hospitals for longer.
Well, all that's good and fine, and I'm not debating
the facts,
statistics, or any of that.
Well, I mean, don't those matter? Don't facts and statistics actually matter if we're going to discuss this intelligently? And again, we've already had this conversation. Look, if anybody listens to me and thinks that I'm somehow belittling deaths, I'm talking about the reaction to COVID. I don't make fun of people who die of a heart attack. Why would I? But many heart attacks are preventable. I don't talk about people who die of diabetes derisively, but I do say make the choices to a healthier lifestyle to stop the epidemic of diabetes. When you've got hospitals that are 85% full right now of people with things other than COVID, and you've got 15% that are classified as COVID cases, then it seems like our biggest problem is that first 85%. So if we want to decry the deaths, if we want to do something seriously to address a public health crisis in this country, we should be focusing on that 85% of people, too, not just the COVID cases, right?
But when it comes down to truth, I listen to you, and I have not heard you say one thing about Lynn Finch the other day when she signed on to overthrowing the election of bona fide votes, and she used her office to say just get Trump the election.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't comment on that. That was a political thing. She knows that Trump is popular here, so it's good for her popularity to sign on to the lawsuit. That's basically the only thing I can imagine that she did, that the reason she did that. That's why most of the state's attorneys general, they did it because a lot of them are trying to ride Trump's coattails.
Well, as lawyers, there are certain cases that would get you disbarred. And this happened to be one of them. I can understand how a lawyer who took an oath, and also are members of the bar, Lynn Finch case. She's a member of the Mississippi Bar, and I'm sure a complaint will be filed to have her disbarred because of her action. I'm sure that the case will have merit. It's noteworthy. As an attorney, for her to take that action, she needs to be disbarred in the state of Mississippi.
Well, I don't know what she signed on to. I didn't read the plaintiff's case. I don't know if you listen to this show. I haven't weighed into a lot of the court cases with this election because I have the bar that I have set is that if there was fraud, then we need to see the evidence proven somewhere in court. And it doesn't, if it's not proven in court, doesn't mean it didn't happen. But the bottom line is, I don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think Trump's going to be victorious on this, and I'm not going to talk about it until they make some headway. So and I don't carry water for Trump. So the election stuff, yes. I'm just waiting for I'm waiting for the facts and the truth to come out. If they prove it in court, I think we should all take it very seriously.
Well, the court case is over with. The Supreme Court has already ruled.
Well, there's several other are pending.
That's dead. Biden's been certified, and he'll be sworn in on January 20th. Trump has a good fundraising thing because of this. He don't have a reason to concede. All he has to do is keep lying about keep hope alive and send me money. Send hope alive and keep me money.
I will agree it has been a good fundraising.
$270 million that will be his money. I mean, why would he turn it down?
Look,
all he has to do is keep telling those folks, man, I need your money.
I'm not going to argue with you on that because you're exactly right. I mean, the money is flowing. I mean, and it's flowing in for a lot of different people. And I'm not saying there was not any fraud. I'm just saying they need to prove it. But you're right. There is a lot of money flowing to Rudy Giuliani, to all of the people involved, including the Trump group, too. Now, again, I just am, as an objective observer, say, look, there were a lot of hanky things with that election. I think there were a lot of things that went on that do not seem right. But the bottom line is we can gnash our teeth about it all we want. They've got to prove it in court. If it happened, it should be able to find the right ear of a court somewhere at some time and be proven.
It's been over past a month, and nothing has been proven. Nothing has been proven. They have no evidence. And they asked Giuliani whatever thing.
Well, I got to tell you, I draw a distinction with you on this no evidence thing. I mean, if you go into a court, if you want to classify evidence as evidence and you were going to court to produce your evidence, they've got a lot of whistleblowers. They've got a lot of people who have signed affidavits. In a court of law, that would be considered evidence. So I think there is a lot of evidence out there. Was it enough to sway an election? What are the actual numbers? Was there tinkering with the machines that can be proven and presented in court as evidence? These are the things I'm waiting to see. But I don't think it's fair to say they don't have any evidence. I think they've got a lot of evidence of problems.
They asked Giuliani in Pennsylvania, are you alleging fraud? He said no. And walked his tail out of court.
I'm not even familiar with that.
If you as an attorney present something to it, if you present a lie to a judge, you get disbarred. He would not say fraud. He would not say it.
Yeah, I wasn't even familiar with that. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I do truth and facts here. I think the election, if my personal opinion is a lot of election fraud. You know what I think about election fraud? I think about it like college football cheating. You know, occasionally you find a school that gets the death penalty or they get something and they get in trouble for a bad recruiting thing. I would imagine darn near every college you look at, you could probably find something. I think election fraud's the same thing. I bet if you went back and looked at every election we've had for the last 50 years, you're going to find pockets of fraud. What the Trump campaign has to do now is prove that it was enough to change the votes in each one of these states that he needed. So that's what I'm waiting on.
He lost by 7 million votes. There ain't enough fraud to overcome that. He lost. He needs to go get a job somewhere and find somewhere else to live, because Mar-a-Lago don't want him down
there. All right, Vince. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate the call. Good to talk to you. All right, I got to run to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Next hour, we're going to have Stephen Utroska in here from Americans for Prosperity to do our Freedom and Prosperity Hour. Got lots to talk about with him today. Listening to the news, I was watching the news this morning. Did you see all these car accidents and everything that took place, this big winter storm that went on in the Northeast? I mean, is it not past time that we outlaw snow? It is clearly a hazard to human beings. At the very least, I think we need to implement what I have been calling for since March, which are park-in-place orders. We can't just be going out in the snow. There's a danger to that. People die. People get injured. People go to the hospitals. I mean, when you've got hospitals at the verge of being overrun, you can't be out there driving in the rain and the snow. I don't think we should have people living in cold climates anymore. Do you know people freeze to death? Nobody on the coasts. We all need to meet up somewhere, maybe. Well, I was going to say Oklahoma, but they've got earthquakes there. There's got to be some safe space we can all congregate in this country so there's no risk to us ever, anytime, ever. We just go to this one risk-free zone, and we all sit in our homes and get government checks. Because these politicians and bureaucrats tell us their number one job is to keep the American people safe. There's got to be somewhere where we can all be safe. Kind of like veal. I know there's a lot of people that are probably mad at me because I didn't fight the fight with Vince last time on the election fraud. As everybody, I mean, you know, I probably, if this was a national show, I would have just made, 60-70 million people really mad. I try very, very hard on this show to just deal with truth and facts. Now, I believe, as I said during the call with Vince, the idea that they have no evidence for voter fraud is silly. If you're using the term for evidence to be something that you could present in a court of law, an affidavit from somebody is evidence that you can present. If you have a murder trial and there was an eyewitness to something, they present in a court of law. If you have a murder weapon, that is evidence. You present it in a court of law. There is a ton of evidence for voter fraud. And if there is fraud that changed the results of an election, I want it rooted out. I want to see a lot of people go to jail. What is absolutely mystifying me, and I could be missing this because I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to follow every twist and turn of this stuff because it's just like the Russia investigation. It just is a path to nowhere. I knew that Russia, I knew they weren't going to lock up any of these deep state people. Am I the crazy one? Or are the people who breathlessly reported, the Sean Hannitys of the world, that talked about Peter Strzok every single night for 2 years, are they the crazy ones? It seems to me they're beating their heads against the wall because I knew these people weren't going to go down. So I can come on the air and talk about all everything that Lynn Wood has put out there, everything that Sidney Powell has put out there. The problem is they've got to prove that in a court of law. Because why do I cover that breathlessly over and over and over again until January 20th just to stoke more anger? I'm a little angry that it took till after an election for them to bring up, oh, hey, did you know Dominion is part owned by this Chinese investor or this Democrat operative's husband or whatever it is? Donald Trump had 4 years. You got it. What is Dominion Voting Systems is in 30 states? That might have been an issue to bring up and address for the last 4 years to try to get some honesty in our elections. As I said, I think election fraud is like college football recruiting violations. If you look at any election we've had, you're going to find them. If you look at any college football program, you're going to find they did something to get that four-star, that five-star recruit that they probably shouldn't have done. But they've got to prove it now. There were 4 years to try to get some election integrity in this country. I don't want to hear after the election when all this is going on, all these connections to China, they're not brand new. Electronic voter fraud, manipulation of votes on electronic machines has been around, I think the first time I saw it was 2004. So it needs to have been handled then. And look, I'll be honest with you too. Sidney Powell is impressive as an attorney. I think she's got the goods on some of these things. I don't know the numbers. You know, Trump came out and did his press conference where he did something that I thought was not good for him to do. He started riffing. And he said things like, you've got some places here where votes were changed or late ballots came in and you got like 25,000 extra votes. And then he kept going, 50,000, 100 extra votes, 100,000 extra votes. He should have been specific. See, that's the kind of thing where you just go, you just start throwing out numbers. I hear a lot of numbers thrown out. And I believe, look, everybody was mad at me. Oh, there was definitely fraud. Okay, I believe you. I believe you. But they have got to get this. If the entire judicial system in this country is compromised, then we've got big problems. And maybe that's the case, but I find, you know, there's a judge out in California that's ruling against the lockdowns. He is saying out loud, there is no evidence that a restaurant or even in the latest news, a strip club, I've never cheered so hard for a strip club to remain open as I do right now in California, where this judge comes out and says, there's no evidence that these places being open are somehow responsible for spikes in this disease. It's ridiculous. They are allowed to open. So this judge, he's obviously not playing the game. So if it's procedural things that are keeping the Trump team out of court, they need to clean those up, man. It's up to them. The people have given them over $200 million. And I'll tell you right now, I don't trust Rudy Giuliani either. He may be on the right side of this thing. He may be trying to get to the bottom of it. But for those of you who just blanket trust Rudy Giuliani because he's a Trump fanboy, I got to tell you, you're making a mistake. That guy is as deep state swampy creature as you're going to come around. So I can't carry a lot of water for the overturning the election, definite election fraud. There's no way Joe Biden won until they get it done. They've got to prove this thing. I can't believe there's not some court in any of these states that will allow some evidence to get in. And if there had been some positive court rulings, I may not have even heard about them because God knows the media is not going to give it any coverage. But ultimately, that's what needs to happen. And I'm a little ticked off that Donald Trump didn't work on this stuff for the last 4 years. We know there's been fraud in elections for forever. So I stand ready to see whatever corruption rooted out. I think the thing I started to say is, have these people, we've got this footage of the Georgia people, right? They kicked out the poll watchers, very, very smelly thing to have done, and then they rush back in there and start counting votes. Very, very smelly, suspicious activity. pulling suitcases out from underneath tables. Seems really smarmy. Now, I've never worked in a poll. I don't know if any of that was somehow normal. It just looks bad, but it looks really, really bad. Have they gotten all of the people that were within that video footage of the Georgia thing? Have they gotten them into a small room with a bright light shining in their face and interrogated the crap out of them and scared the bejesus out of them? Because you need some people on the inside of this thing to be scared of jail time and flip on the people that instructed them to do voter fraud. You didn't have tens of thousands of poll workers around this country just spontaneously all cheat for Joe Biden. Something was driving it. And you've got to go up that chain, like any other criminal investigation. Get those small fries who got no benefit from it. If there were people out there that cheated for Joe Biden, you're pathetic. Because Joe Biden's not going to give you anything. Joe Biden's not going to make you put your freedom at risk for a guy that doesn't even know you exist. It's bizarre. But you should be getting those small fries. And look, I know. Can we count on the FBI? Certainly doesn't feel like it, does it? But Trump is still on the top of the heap right now, and you would think you could get some investigators down to Georgia to scare the crap out of these little people. If they did something illegal in those vote counting rooms, in front of all those cameras, you big dummies. I mean, seriously, you dummies. Everything's on video now. You sacrificed your freedom for Joe Biden, but those people should be flipped. You need people to start flipping from the inside of that operation, not just throwing the accusations from the outside. It seems to me. I'm no legal expert. But I just find myself without really a leg to stand on here, carrying water for the fact that the election was definitely thrown to Joe Biden. Look, I'm stunned that Joe Biden got that many votes, too. But here's the thing that is stunning to me is that Sidney Powell has said it's something like 10 million votes were switched, which could tip the election to Donald Trump. That still means Joe Biden got 70 million votes. That should be a red flag warning bell going off to you that Donald Trump did something wrong during the last 4 years that would force or encourage 70 million people to vote for a mental patient in Joe Biden, an establishment career politician of no great importance and no charisma, and yet somehow 70 million people, even if you take away all of his fraudulent votes, the 10 million that I've heard Sidney Powell say, 70 million people showed up. And I'll tell you, that's a result of Trump's style for the last 4 years. And now he needs people. He needs courts. He needs authorities. He needs governors to act for him. It may have turned out that the last 4 years of calling people names on Twitter wasn't the best strategy in case you might need a little help down the road. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. Kind of seems like maybe being a little bit more magnanimous to people, maybe not really taking after them on Twitter and giving them all cute nicknames when the chips are down, you might have needed some of those people. But anyway, I wait like everybody else. I am not saying that it's not worth pursuing. I'm not saying that they are not right about election fraud. It is just time to prove it. Time is short. I hate corruption. You'll hear it every day on this show. If it exists, root it out, jail the perpetrators, and fix our election system. That is my great dream. And if that puts Donald Trump back into office, that's fantastic if he earned it. But boy, it's they got to prove something. All
night, the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul,
All right, we're back. We got Stephen Yastrzemski in studio with us. Next hour, we're going to do our Freedom and Prosperity Hour. I saw a statement before I came on air from the Mexican president that is pretty stunning. We'll talk about then. But, Stephen, we were talking, or I was talking just a second ago about election fraud. What's your stance on that these days?
Yeah, you know, I think that there has been fraud out there. I think there's always been fraud out there. I don't think this election is much different from other elections in the fraud that we see. I think we'll always see that. The amount of fraud we saw this time, that's the question.
Yeah.
You know, how much was there? Was there enough to swing the election? You know, I wish we could have seen the Texas case go to court.
Well, what do you think about that? I saw, you know, there's all kinds of writers saying about that. Was that a dereliction by the Supreme Court to not take that case, or was it legit that they threw it out on standing, or just refused to hear it on standing?
Yeah, you know, again, I'm not an attorney, and I'll keep saying that on the air when we talk about it. But, you know, I don't know. I think that I would have liked to see them take the case and rule on it one way or the other. You know, I've got attorney friends that I've seen, you know, kind of split on it. Some of them say that they agree with the Supreme Court and not hearing the case, and then some of them certainly wanted to see it just as much as I did. But
that's what's interesting about the law. I've had the same experience. And I think if you're not a lawyer, you kind of assume, well, the law is the law. It's written down. You follow the law. But, boy, I mean, everything's open to interpretation, so everybody has different opinions just on that one little thing. So I guess the Supreme Court, the justices had different opinions on that as well.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, most cases that we see before the Supreme Court, you find some justices on one side of the issue and some on the other. You know, there's you know, rarely do they have a 100% consensus among all of them. But, you know, we see interpretation not only in courts. I think that they sometimes take leeway in interpreting the law, whether it's supposed to be as it was written or not. But, you know, the federal government does that a lot,
yeah.
And certainly with the executive agencies. You know, they take a lot of leeway in interpreting law, and it depends on what day you're asking them what they feel about it. You know, they you know, make opinions. You know, I was previously involved with the firearm industry, and with that, we follow the ATF quite a bit, and it just depends on, you know, what ATF personnel you asked on
right.
One day of how they interpret laws. And so we've seen that now. You know, the ATF is coming out and reinterpreting laws that,
right.
that they previously had stances
well,
on.
As far as the election stuff goes, they've got to get in court and prove something. Right now, I just don't see the path, but I'm rare in that. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag, and now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. And it's Thursday, every Thursday at 10 o'clock. We are doing a Freedom and Prosperity Hour. And every week we have Stephen Yastrzemski in here from Americans for Freedom and Prosperity. So, Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Always glad to be here.
All right. I wanted to just discuss this real quick. You know, this is a Freedom and Prosperity Hour. United States, the home of the, you know, the free and land of the brave. Did I get that backwards? Anyway, I found this almost comical. In a time where we've seen so many rights stripped from us, pull that mic down to you a little bit. Here in the United States, we're just the bastion of freedom here. It is cracking me up that I ran across this from the Mexican president, and he is a left-leaning populist president. He goes by the name by the moniker AMLO because his name is Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador. He goes by AMLO. But this was his comment on the lockdowns when it comes to Mexico. And you juxtapose this with basically our red state governor, Tate Reeves, or our Republican government in Washington, D.C. This is a Mexican left-wing president, AMLO, says a lot of them are talking about the authorities in lockdowns. A lot of them are letting their authoritarian instincts show. He added, the fundamental thing is to guarantee liberty. This is in Mexico. On top of that, what I think is equally hilarious is that Mexico is one of the only countries that's allowing American tourists to come in because of COVID. And so now you suddenly have Mexico, whose president is expressing more freedom, really, than most people in the United States. And Americans are trying to fly over the wall to get into Mexico all of a sudden.
Yeah, for some reason he actually believes that it's our choice and we can make a choice on our own.
Yeah.
Whether we want to take the threat of coming down there and having vacation with our family.
Right. And he'll take the tourism dollars. He's opposed to lockdowns. He's just, you know, Ron Paul said a long time ago, probably even before Donald Trump, that he never liked walls. And when he was asked about the Trump wall and immigration wall, and I understand people wanting to control illegal immigration, I get the whole thing, but Ron Paul always said, I don't really like walls because it might be designed to keep people in, you know, at some point. Well, now we've got in America, their economy is sliding through the ground. We've got lockdowns. We've got people being pushed into poverty. No other countries will let us in. And suddenly we're trying to flee to Mexico. If that wall was completed, we might have been stuck.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, walls work both ways.
Yeah. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. Wanted to talk today about some of the COVID stuff. One of the things that's really set me off this week, and probably has other weeks too, but it is a lot of the bureaucracy out in local governments. I played some clips yesterday of the health inspectors. I mean, this story is occurring probably hundreds or thousands of times a day around the country right now. Health inspectors or some other bureaucrats show up at some small business that is struggling to comply with the rules that change daily. You can feed people outside. No, you can't. You can't have anybody inside. You can do carry out only. I mean, they are just being jerked all around, and they're losing their businesses. 7.8 million people have been thrust into poverty in the last 5 months, I think, in the United States, and that trend is accelerating. We lost 110,000 restaurants in the past 3 months. And these local governments are enforcing, you know, putting these rules out there and then sending these enforcers with their clipboards to essentially put their foot on the throat of small business owners across this country. And it is driving me nuts. Here's a question for you. You're in kind of a liberty-minded organization with AFP. Do we need a health department in every state?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that we have to make sure that we give people liberty to make their own choices.
Yeah.
People have to make their own choices. You know, should there be an organization out there that checks, you know, the health and welfare of the restaurant industry to make sure that they're doing well, make sure people can review them, make sure that people can, you know, tell you if they got sick if they went there. You know, should we have that? Yeah, I think we should.
Right.
Do we have that? Yelp does a pretty good job at that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, Yelp does a pretty good job. Look.
Word of mouth is pretty big. Someone calls you and say, what you up to? Oh, I've been sick 2 days because I ate at such and such a place. And boom, everybody gets the word. I remember a couple of places that were accused of serving cats a while back, and they ended up going out of business. So, I mean, yeah, there are some private free market ways to police people like health authorities do.
Yeah, look, I think that, you know, if we looked at things – you know, and reviews like we do Yelp, you know, for restaurants, if we looked at it that way, look, Yelp could make a huge industry in that. And, you know, look, you want Yelp. You could be a restaurant owner and say, hey, Yelp inspectors, I want you to come down, inspect my facility, make sure it's clean, and post your Yelp A healthcare or health rating on my business so that you can post that so that everybody that comes in knows that, hey, this has been certified by a third-party Yelp inspector. And you can feel good about coming and eating here.
And another company could come in and say, we've got a new way to do health inspections, and it's better. And they could compete with Yelp and doing something like that. See, I think a lot of people would look at that and go, well, you've got to have somebody doing these things. It's kind of like the airlines. You know, when you had the federal government go in and do TSA, a TSA agent has basically no skin in the game if somebody takes down an airline, a terrorist gets on an airline. I mean, they may get into a little bit of trouble, but that's pretty much it for them. And they have shown, the TSA agents, and I don't know if you've ever seen this, the stings that they do on these guys, they have like a 94-95% failure rate. So when they're tested by air marshals, undercover air marshals, and getting weapons onto board, they get them through like 94-95% of the time. Who would be better at screening those things? The people that have a vested interest in their planes not going down, which are the airlines. But we're convinced that so many of these things have to be government things because we just have gotten this idea that government is somehow special. They can fill this void of things that us mere mortals couldn't do. And these health inspectors going around bossing people around are just, I wanted to talk about it today. We don't have to have these bureaucrats.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I think that there's free market ways to do things. There's always a free market way to do most things. And I think that when you're looking at restaurants, when you're looking at, you know, letting people go on vacation, when you're looking at doing any of those things, I think people can have the right and liberty to make their own choice and do things the way they want to do it. And they don't need a central planner telling them what to do and how to do it.
Well, I think a lot of people will listen to this and go, oh, well, I think you're going a little too far there. You need a health department because you can't have people getting sick from the food. But people do get sick from food. You have food poisoning. I've gotten food poisoning in the last year. I've gotten a little distress after eating somewhere, and I call the restaurant. As a former restaurant manager, I call them and go, hey, I had this last night, not feeling real great right now. Y'all might want to check it out. But it doesn't matter how many times the health inspector goes by. Food is a daily process, and you're always going to run that risk. And to be honest, I've been in the restaurant business. A lot of times, you know, when the health inspector's coming and you put your best foot forward for that day, and then what happens in the next 3 months is not reflective of that day that inspector came. But the bottom line is that I think a lot of people just think, oh, well, we have to have this. But the fact of the matter is it doesn't really address the problem. It doesn't fix the problem, I'll put it that way. People still get sick in restaurants.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever gone to a restaurant and seen a B rating and been like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Can't eat here.
Right. Come on, honey.
I mean, most of the time I see B ratings, I'm like, hey, they probably got pretty good food.
Yeah.
You know? They just do it a different way. And, you know, as long as I'm not getting sick, I don't mind that. And, you know, if they're still in business – chances are not a lot of people are getting sick or dying from eating there. So, you know, B rating, you know.
Yeah, but right now it's so stark because if you had a voluntary system, restaurants would just have decisions to make right now. I would imagine back in March and April, even if you had opened your business, if we had lived my libertarian dream and there's a restaurant owner who was allowed to open his business at maximum capacity with no mask and no hand sanitizer, maybe this guy just thought, I think he wouldn't have gotten much business. You know what I mean? I think that voluntarily people would not have gone to dine. Now I think people are familiar enough with COVID, they are being prohibited from living their lives, and restaurant owners and other business owners from making a living because people would voluntarily go there now.
Yeah, that's right. And look, I support if a business owner, if a restaurant owner, if he puts a sign on his door and says you have to wear a mask, you have to wear a face shield, you have to put on gloves, you have to sanitize, you have to do this and this and this, and he has 15 steps for you to be able to come in and eat at his restaurant.
Right.
He should have that ability to do that if that's what he wants. And if there's a populace out there that's what they want in a restaurant, if they want a place that's that safe,
right, exactly,
that has that conditions,
yeah,
hey, he'll make a killing with that crowd. But if there's another business owner that, doesn't want to do all that, and they, his clientele loves living on the edge,
right,
coming in the restaurant and, taking the potential of getting COVID, then, why are we going to stop that? That's their choice. They're adults in this. I don't have any decision rights to tell them what to do.
Well, I tell you, I was very alone. I don't know how long it's been now. It seems like forever. It's almost you can't remember a time that was different. I was very alone years and years ago when these local governments were passing these no smoking in restaurant things where they were forbidding it. They were making it illegal for someone to smoke because, emotionally, most people don't smoke. Cigarette smoke does stink. It can not be good to enjoy a meal in a smoky room for a lot of people. And people just really wanted those governments to crack down. They fully supported these small so-called conservative towns forcing their governments to end smoking in a restaurant. Man, that kind of stuff leads to what we're seeing right now. It's be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. In Mississippi, we have such crazy laws on everything, but on alcohol and on smoking. And so there's a lot of places in Mississippi you can go out to the county and you can have your beer out in the county and you can smoke indoors. So you go to a bar out in the county, you can smoke and drink beer. But if you want to drink your whiskey, now you got to go into the town. You got to go into the city limits to drink whiskey, but now you can't smoke. So there's a trade-off there. What's it going to be? Do you want to smoke inside and drink beer, or do you want to smoke or have smoke-free facility but drink whiskey?
Right.
Yeah. So that makes sense, though, right?
Well, of course. Yeah. I'm sure that solved every problem that that town and that city had. They've really, you know, that's the beautiful thing about bureaucrats and politicians. They always find the exact right balance. You know, they never make an error, right? Because everything they're doing is so arbitrary. It's so funny to me when you listen to someone, you know, if they come out and say, you can only have 50% occupancy. Well, that's a rule that these bureaucrats go out and inform. They go in and they see what your capacity is. You know, a restaurant that has 100, has a seating for 100, they go in and do a head count. You mean to tell me that there is some horrible public threat if there might be 56 people in there, you know, but there's no danger if there's 48? I mean, there's obviously, quite obviously, intellectually, there's no different. That other eight people is not the tipping point to some plague outbreak. And so they set these rules and these numbers, these percentages or numbers, or 6 feet. I mean, are we not safe within 5.5 feet? Are we fully safe at 6.5 feet? You know, everything is arbitrary, but it's always couched as they're using the best science to arrive at these things. They're not. They're just guesses. They're just throwing a dart with a blindfold on.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the funny things I've seen is some of these restaurants that are now building outdoor dining, you know, but it's basically a tented in outdoor
right.
dining area.
It's indoor dining
and
outdoors.
So, yeah, it's indoor dining outdoor, so it meets the, you know, the central planning rules that have been put on them, but, you know, they're meeting all the rules and they've got outdoor dining now, but now that it's cold, of course, they close the sidewalls for it and have a heater going in there, and it, you know, amazingly seems like you're indoors even though now you're technically outdoors.
Right.
And so I was joking. I went to one of these restaurants, and you know, I felt great because they were keeping the restaurant open. They were getting capacity they needed to keep the doors open and actually make, you know, money to do that. And I didn't mind at all. So here I was sitting in this tent, you know, outdoors, and I was joking around with people I was eating with. And I said, "It's amazing the science behind these walls that they have. These are COVID blocking
right,
walls
of course,
of this
yeah.
tent. You know, they can't get in here. But now if we went inside." You know, those wooden walls that they have, they can't block the COVID. You know, it can get in there, so we've got to spread people out.
I mean, it's like you've got to wear a mask as you walk to your table, but when you sit down, you can take your mask off, and then when you leave, you've got to put your mask. I mean, you know, I will give Mississippi a tiny bit. We're not as bad as some other states, but that's about as generous as I can be with this state.
Yeah, but you didn't know that COVID's only about 5 feet up or higher, so if you stand – that's when you hit it.
That's where
that's
it
the
is.
Cloud of COVID.
So yeah. We should all be crawling. I've been calling for some kind of thing. I thought hopping on 1 foot. I thought maybe, I thought of a good one just as an experiment. Maybe if you tell people that smacking themselves on the butt over and over again actually pushes the virus out of your mouth, keeps you from getting infected. I think I could sell that one, and it would be hilarious to go into a Kroger and just watch people just going around the whole place, just smack, 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 the whole time they're in there.
Is that like the Heimlich maneuver for COVID?
Exactly, yeah. I think we could sell that. What percentage of people would actually do that if Thomas Dobbs came out and told them that that would somehow keep them safe? I'm scared to judge on the number. All right, we come back. We want to talk about something actual, real. The certificate of need legislation. We talked about it a little bit last time, but I think it's so important for people to understand if they're going to scream about lack of hospital beds, maybe we should get to the root cause of why there's so few hospital beds. I'm talking to Stephen Utroska here for Americans for Prosperity. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
right, Stephen. I'm talking to Stephen Utroska with Americans for Prosperity, our Freedom and Prosperity Hour here. I wanted to look at a couple of things before we get into Certificate of Need. These bureaucrats, I'm sorry, they're under my skin these days. And I was thinking about other things, too. So we've talked about health inspectors, that there are actually private market, free market things that could be done. And the bottom line, you know, when it comes to health inspectors, I don't know, if you had 100 restaurants, 99 of them are going to make absolutely sure that they are serving the best quality food and never getting anybody sick. Morally, they want that. And for the survival of their business, they do those things right. But there's other things, too. I have had run-ins with code enforcement in these cities. And, you know, a lot of cities in the U.S., including Madison County, and I think others around here, too, have adopted these U.N. standards. Do you remember? Do you know what that's called? It's like universal codes of property maintenance or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember what the code is, but yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, and it comes from the UN, and
that's
this right. is a busybody thing. The people in Madison think it's this, we're keeping our property values up and, you know, these kinds of things. But what is the solution? If we got rid of code enforcement, and boy, some of those guys are eager beavers. And one of them came to my house. He was about 6'4". I had one of those kind of frosted front glass, and I heard a knock at the door. When you look at the door and you see the outline of somebody that takes up the entire door because he was huge, and I could see the outline of a gun on his hip, I didn't realize it was about my green pool, but that's what it was about. I mean, there it was intimidating, actually. But what could be done instead of, you know, local government code enforcers?
Yeah, well, just like we were talking about before, I mean, I think that there's you know, a private, you know, free market solution to that. And look, you know, if you've got a green pool in the back of your house, who's that hurting?
Right.
You know, if you decide to have...
I'll say if it was in July, maybe you could say it's a breeding ground for mosquitoes, and I couldn't control the mosquitoes in my backyard, they could get somewhere else, so a neighbor might have a problem with me doing that. This was in January, so it was frozen over. It actually had ice on the top of it. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, so what kind of... And also, wouldn't... So here's the thing that I think people would see. Well, what happens if I live in a neighborhood and my neighbor's just letting his house fall down? So what do you do then?
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, look, you know, there are plenty of people. If you're in a neighborhood, a covenant's neighborhood, you know, that's one thing because you have signed a contract.
Voluntarily signed.
That's right.
A contract.
You voluntarily said, when I purchase this property, you have a set of rules, and I'm gonna abide by that set of rules. Well, there's plenty of places out in the county. You know, I've been all over rural Mississippi, and it's amazing these huge, you know, $500,000 houses. Sometimes you'll come up on just in the middle of nowhere, and then there'll be, you know, house trailers all the way around it.
Right.
You know. I mean, that's you know, that is the quintessence of property ownership. You know, you bought property there, somebody else buys property there, they use it for, you know, what they want to use it for. Now, you know, if they're intruding on your property or doing something, you know, against your property, then that's fine. You know, then we can talk about, you know, the legal
civil
recourse.
Remedies. You
that's
can
right.
sue them in court, and yeah. There's all kinds of procedures already there to handle those things.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have a house that's not in a neighborhood where you never sign a contract about you know, keeping it up to certain standards, and you build a $500,000 house, then the guy next to you, you know, he builds a, you know, a $20,000 house, you know, a tiny home, you know,
right,
and builds that, and you think that's going to reduce the value of your property. Well, you know, you are now, you know, saying that you think you should have ownership of his property, or at least the right to tell him what he can do with his property, because you decided to build this $500,000 house out there.
Right, and you could have built it in a covenants-restricted neighborhood
that's
if you
right.
wanted to. You know, I had a situation. I think another thing that some of these things do, particularly like in code enforcement, it creates almost a tattletale society of people who cannot solve interpersonal issues. People will call. You know, they don't want to go say something awkward to their neighbor. You know, hey, I noticed that something's happening with your house. Do you think you could handle that? Even things like when my green pool incident blew up, it got onto social media. It was so fun. I don't do Facebook and stuff, but the woman I was dating at the time said, have you been on Facebook? People were just piling on me. But there were people on that Facebook thread that were saying, hey, man, you know, if you need any help, I'm happy to come over there and do it. They were being neighborly. And, you know, to me, it wasn't an issue. This thing just kind of blew up overnight because one neighbor took to Facebook and tried to shame me rather than just coming over and saying something to me directly. But also with code enforcement, there was a woman in my neighborhood, husband had left They had gotten a divorce. He had left. She had two girls. She was trying to work and provide for them at the same time. And she had house problems. And they just attacked her with fines and threats and legal challenges and stuff. Instead of people just going over and saying, I ended up cutting her grass for probably 6 months and helping her with some repair around her house. Instead of neighbors just going, hey, no, you're going through a little bit of a tough time. Let's go over there and help you. But it's taken that away. It's given this thing where people can say, well, I can call the law. I can call the city government and get them to handle it so I don't have to deal with it and get them in line so that they're not making me look. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Look, you know, before I got involved in politics, I was an engineer. I did consulting work for about 11 years. And, you know, one thing I did as a civil and environmental engineer is we worked on the environmental side with landfills. So you'd have these landfills come in. And so nobody wanted a landfill near their house. You know, they diminished the property values, this and that. Well, you know, the issue wasn't so much that there was a landfill, but the smell from it, right? So if you get these, you know, companies that come in, run a landfill, don't do the things that they should to try to keep the smell. I mean, you can smell it for miles.
Yeah.
So certainly does that diminish the value of the property around it? Absolutely. You know, should there be something done about it? Absolutely. You know, because then they're infringing on those people's property rights.
Yeah, private property.
Because they're making it stink, you know. So what's the solution to that? Well, the solution is that either that, you know, that landfill needs to put in place the precautions to make sure they're not causing that stench to go out and cover these, you know, other property owners' property or buy their property. You know, but again, that's, you know, private way they can handle that. So I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with, you know, we need landfills. We got to have landfills. We got to put them at somewhere. So let's put them somewhere. But as long as they have the right, you know, measures in place to make sure that they can run that properly, there's no big deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, and we certainly don't need the government coming down and doing it. You know, we can solve those issues in civil court.
Right. Know? Yeah. There's plenty of mechanisms in there for people to address problems without having to have government do it. And the last thing I'm going to touch on just real quick here, one the group that we were talking about off air that just drove me crazy when I was a business owner is the inventory tax people. These people come in towards the end of the year to see everything you own. These inspectors will come and knock on your door and just walk into your place of business and just take a clipboard and look around and see everything you've got in there. How many computers have you got? I mean, I've had them call me back and say, oh, I didn't look. How many office chairs do you have? Because they want to put this into a calculation to levy a tax at the end of every year for the, what you own. Everything that you've already paid for in a place, you know, a building that you've already paid for. You're paying it on top of your property taxes. You've paid sales taxes on everything you own. They come in to get that one little, and it's not usually a whole lot for most small businesses, but it is just the idea that the government's got to come by at the end of the year and shake you down for $78.64 because you've got two flat screen TVs and two desks in your office. It just is maddening.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, that's not any more or less maddening than property taxes to me. You know,
oh, yeah.
You know, you're just renting that property from the government.
Yeah, we're almost to the point we can't say we own much of anything because if you do not pay taxes on it along the way, they will take it from you.
Yeah, they will come and take it.
Yeah.
You know, so if they have a right to come and take it based on the law, is that ever really your property?
Right. And it's pretty much across the board. I mean, it's darn near everything. I mean, I guess with a car, you could keep it, but you sure aren't going to drive it anywhere if you don't pay those taxes on the road. They'll take it from you when you get it out on the road and try to use it.
Yeah, it's funny. I see a lot of things. You know, I've got a car that I like to put some time and effort and money into. But a lot of things that you can buy for it now, they just call it off-road use only. Yeah, that way you can get around the, you know, they can sell you something
right.
that you know, in some states is not legal on the road. So they just call it off-road. And look, my car can't go off-road at all. You know, I mean, it's a sports car, so you're not taking it off-road at all, but they do sell off-roading equipment for it.
Right, right.
You know, yeah. So I guess that's if you're on private roads or, you know, on the track, you can use it. But
well, that's a perfect example of all of these rules and regulations don't solve any problems. Business owners just have to think of try to creative ways to get around them or parse the language and to make the things they need to make happen anyway. They have just no effect whatsoever.
Yep.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk about certificates of need. Stay with us.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. how spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we got Stephen Utroska in with us from Americans for Prosperity for our Freedom and Prosperity Hour. So let's talk about Certificate of Need again. You said there is actually some challenge to the court in this. If you would, explain what Certificate of Need legislation is and how it relates to what we're seeing right now with the Thomas Dobbs. The people at UMC are on the news every day screaming about we're running out of hospital beds. We need to impose more strict social guidelines to keep people apart because the hospitals can't handle it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So, you know, certificate of need laws were first kind of thought about, entered into the policy world in the 60s. But in the late 70s was when we saw on the federal level some CON laws being passed by Congress. In Mississippi, certificate of need on the state level was passed in 79. And then there was a few years after that, they kind of kept adding more things to it. But it was first introduced in Mississippi in 79. But basically what certificate of need laws does is it is a central planned, very bureaucratic way of protectionism.
Right.
And so what they do is the State Board of Health, if you're a doctor, medical professional, if you want to expand your practice, open a new practice somewhere, even purchase new equipment for your practice, you basically have to fill out a permission slip, send it to the Department of Health, and ask them, can I expand my practice, expand my scope of practice? Can I, open a new practice, get this piece of equipment, whatever? You got to ask them for permission.
Yeah.
And then what they do is say, well, is there a need for that? Is there a public need for it? So if they look at the market and they say, well, hey, look, there's already a big hospital in your area. Why do you need an MRI machine?
Right.
They can do that. There's no reason for you to have one.
Which we do in no other industries.
That's
there's
right.
No
other industry.
I mean, I don't know how many car dealerships we need. How many pharmacies do we need? I mean, you can go to some city blocks and you will see a pharmacy on three corners of the intersection. No problems with that. I mean, so we have competition and everything else, which helps drive prices and makes things convenient and make sure that you don't stand in long lines at pharmacies if you've got more of them rather than less. But so why with this?
That's right. And they can't set prices. When you have an open market, it's the market that drives the prices,
right.
Not the few, protected businesses there. But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with dental offices. Look, there's dentists are all over the place. There's a dentist on just about every corner. And I tell you what, for somebody that has gone without dental insurance before, I think that's great because I can call around and see who has, look, I just need a checkup. Want somebody to, do my annual checkup. I don't
right.
have insurance. Who's got the best rate?
Yeah.
Exactly. And you call around and find somebody if they, look legitimate. Again, they may have reviews online. I can look and see how they are and what people have said about them. And I picked the best one for me.
Right.
Certificate of need laws prevent that, on the, more general sense of the medical industry in Mississippi. And so, I know we've talked about this before, but, there was a study done a couple of years ago that said, if we were to have never had certificate of need laws or either, at least repealed them, back in the mid-80s when a lot of other states repealed theirs, that the estimation is that there would be 60 more hospitals or surgery centers in Mississippi today.
Yeah. So our bed problem would be completely gone. We would have no shortage of beds anywhere. They couldn't even say that. There'd be more jobs created. There'd be probably cheaper care. We wouldn't be in an emergency situation right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And look, the same study also said that 37 of those 60 would be in rural areas, and that they estimated that healthcare costs would be reduced by 12%. In the state of Mississippi.
And this came from the Mississippi legislature, and they have kept this in place since 1979. I'm looking at it here. I've got the list of all of the things under it. I hadn't looked at this before. Hospitals, long-term care hospitals, psychiatric hospitals, chemical dependency hospitals, comprehensive medical rehab centers, skilled nursing facilities, intermediate care facilities. Does that mean just nursing homes and stuff are
yeah.
under this thing too? So So when people complain about the prices of some of the nursing homes, which as I'm getting to middle age, I talk to a lot of friends who have had to put people in nursing homes and talk about the price. Well, this is part of the reason for that, too, is that there are fewer choices.
Yeah, I think that's right. As long if they fall under specific guidelines of the services that they provide at that home, that's right, they fall under this. So, yeah, one thing I want to talk about is there's also a moratorium right now in Mississippi against home health care. And so, you know, right now there are or basically have been no new home health care licenses provided since, you know, the mid-80s or so. So this through certificate of need and through some of the other laws that we have in Mississippi, the Department of the Board of Health is not issuing new home health licenses.
And so this would be the agencies that send somebody to your house to take care of somebody?
That's right. Yep, yep.
They're coming to your home. Which is probably the thing we need right now more than anything to keep people out of hospitals and away from other people, particularly senior citizens.
Yep, that's it. And so there's a handful of businesses who have those licenses. Usually the only time you can start a new business is if one's going out of business. If an older home health business, say the guy's retiring, doesn't want to do it anymore, he will then put his license up for sale.
For sale, absolutely.
Put it up for sale, and you can buy that. And now you have bought that license to start your own business now. But there, you know, it's a finite amount of licenses we have in Mississippi.
Which immediately hurts a new company coming in because their first initial, and I would imagine very large expense, is buying that license from the person who's leaving the industry. So you start out already with a giant chunk of money that you've got to get recoup, and you're going to recoup it from your clients.
They're selling the protectionism to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
You know, so if you want it, if you want the protection of your competitors, you've got to buy this license. So, yeah. And so, you know, Mississippi Center for Public Policy has been a partner of Americans for Prosperity. We've worked together on a lot of things. Their legal arm, the Mississippi Justice Institute, just filed a case here in Mississippi in federal court to basically take on specifically the moratorium against home health care. They have a physical therapist that came to them, said, hey, I've been wanting to bring my services to home, you know, physical therapy services to people's home and be able to do that. But, hey, I've been prevented from being able to get a license. You know, I've petitioned to the board of the Board of Health to try to get.
Was this somebody that came in from another state?
I don't know where he's from. I know he's the owner of a clinic in Jackson.
Oh, okay.
So he has a clinic already here in Mississippi. I don't know where he's originally from.
But he just wants to expand into
home
health.
That's it. He has a clinic here. He wants to expand into home health. And so the Mississippi Justice Institute has filed this case in federal court in Mississippi to try to protect his right as a business owner to be able to expand his care in that. So the moratorium specifically that they're looking at has been in place since 1981 in Mississippi.
Good, great.
And so, and we're only one of 16 states in the country that have a specific moratorium against home health care. So we're one of few that still have these laws on the books. One of the other ones is Kentucky. Kentucky has a similar law, and the Institute for Justice, who is a national organization, they're a constitutional litigation organization. They protect people for the freedoms and rights. And they have come into Kentucky, similar to our Mississippi Justice Institute has here. They filed a lawsuit about a year ago on behalf of an entrepreneur there that wanted to do something similar, open a new home health care agency. And so they're a little bit ahead of us. We're kind of already seeing some things that are happening in that case. And I wanted to read quick, one of the judge, of course, when they filed this.
This is Kentucky.
In Kentucky, right. Yeah, this is in Kentucky, the case there. One of the things that as soon as they filed, of course, the state of Kentucky and the Baptist Healthcare, you know, huge corporation, you know, Baptist Health, their $2 billion conglomerate, they also filed along with the state of Kentucky to try to have this thrown out.
So this religious institution that is this giant corporation does not want more care provided to Kentuckians.
Well, they don't want more
competition.
Competition, that's right. So they filed against it. They filed the you know, to have this thrown out, and the judge basically said, "No, I want to hear this case. I'm not agreeing with your position to have this thrown out or whatever they did." But I wanted to read what he said about that. He said it's hard to picture this kind of central planning in most other American industries. So this is the judge in the Kentucky case in federal court. He said this, it's hard to picture that kind of central planning in most other American industries. And he goes on to say, consider, for example, if Michigan had told Henry Ford he couldn't build a Model T factory because of the market having already enough Buicks.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he's right on, right what you said a few minutes ago. I mean, you know, if you're protecting, you know, these home health care businesses from more competition, you know, that's nothing more than just protectionism.
Well, it's amazing when you look. I'm looking at a map right now of all these states that have it. Would you say it's 34 states, 35 states that have certificate of need laws?
Yes, 35 states.
Are these just now being challenged in court in Kentucky and now here? Has this not been challenged before by somebody trying to enter the industry?
Yeah, actually, Florida had some challenges, and they've done it. They've done it in the last few years. I mean, again, it's been, you know, fairly recently, but in the last few years, they've done a lot to really, you know, eliminate some of the certificate of need laws they have, or tone them down to allow more industry to come in, you know, more healthcare, and allow, you know, better services. You know, if there's only, you know, a limited amount of businesses out there that offer a service, you know, they don't have a whole lot of competition, they don't necessarily have to give you the best of service because that's all there is.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just imagine if there were 3 restaurants allowed per county. And I mean, you know, if you want to go out to eat, you got steak, chicken, or vegetarian or whatever, but each one of those has their little piece of it. No one can compete with them. You think they're going to, they know if you want to go out to eat, you got to come to them.
Yeah, well, you know, silver lining in it for Mississippians is, hey, you know, we can go outside of the border of Mississippi.
Yeah.
And we don't have a wall up keeping us in. And so we have heard stories, you know, AFP's been fighting certificate of need laws for the last few years. We had a bill drop this year. We have another bill that's going to be dropped in 2021 session. We've already got it teed up to go. But look, we've heard stories of guys going into Louisiana or Alabama to get MRIs done because it's cheaper.
Right.
You know, so the guys who you have high deductibles that they're having to pay basically out of pocket for these MRIs, you know, why not travel? You know, go to other states and do it if it's cheaper there.
That's such a slam dunk issue. The legislature doesn't really feel like they want to address this before this even gets through the court from Mississippi Justice Department Institute?
Yeah, I think they certainly do want the legislature would much prefer to change this legislatively than to have a precedent set in court.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard to change court rulings. It's easy to change laws by the legislature. So I think it would be wise of them to consider some of these changes that we'll put forth in some bills to try to eliminate some of these certificate of need laws, allow more opportunity and more prosperity in Mississippi through, reducing restrictions. And so we're looking forward to that.
That's mafia-style tactics to keep competitors out of areas, using the legislature to create these barriers for other businesses. And people just never really see the cost. You know, you don't get a hospital bill that says your cost today, what it would have been if there was more competition in the market. You know, people never see that stuff, so I'm glad we talked about it. All right, we've got to take a break. We're going to come back. I wanted to talk real quick before we go. We don't have a long time, but I want to talk about Trump's pardons that he's considering on the way out. There's a couple of freedom fighters out there I think need to be set free.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we've only got a couple minutes left, but I want to focus the last couple minutes of the Freedom and Prosperity Hour on freedom. I was surprised by this. Donald Trump, anonymous sources claim that President Trump is sympathetic to the Free Ross campaign, is considering clemency for the Silk Road founder. This was Ross Ulrich, who set up Silk Road, which was basically just a free market, just for anybody could buy or sell anything on there. And it sounds like Trump is considering pardoning him. He's serving 2 life sentences because on his website, what, people were dealing drugs to each other, selling drugs to each other?
Yeah, I think you and I talked about it. I think there was even a murder for hire that was tried to, used on this this black market site. But, look, I think it was Milton Friedman said, you know, made some kind of comment about the, you know, black market is a free market. You know, there's absolutely no restrictions once you get underground in the black market.
Right.
And that's basically what he had, was he had, you know, he opened it up for the sale of anything. You used it. It was a communication tool. You could do whatever you wanted. They were using bitcoins and things like that.
Would AT&T not be liable if somebody made a phone call to another person to set up a murder for hire? I mean, AT&T is providing a platform that allowed people to talk from one to another. I mean, you know, it seems like that's kind of the same thing. He just had a website. Somebody used it for that purpose. And again, for the drugs the same way, too. And we won't have time to get into the war on drugs. But I just found that interesting. I am really hoping, it's going to say a lot to me about Donald Trump if he pardons or doesn't pardon Assange and Snowden and Chelsea Manning. I certainly like to see him do those if he does find himself out of the presidency. Or even if he doesn't, he just needs to go ahead and do those. Snowden particularly, it's kind of funny. It's like talking about Mexico. Mexico's talking about freedom and liberty. They're allowing Americans in. You got Edward Snowden over there running from the heavy hand of government in the United States, finding relief in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, I think from Snowden is where we got a lot of these whistleblower laws now to protect people when they find government corruption. They find, you know, corruption in the government, and you bring it forth, you won't, you know, be held liable for that. But
yeah, well, I'm going to really praise Trump if he pardons these people. I'm still a little angry at him that he's had Julian Assange rotten in jail just because of the U.S. for the last 3 years. Anyway, so Stephen Utroska from Americans for Prosperity. That's all the time we got today. Everybody have a fantastic day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how